White mouth.
All right, what's the premise of your podcast?
White mouth. White mouth. Welcome to another episode of, you know the name of my podcast? The Handsome Rambler Podcast. I'm here with Tony Trim in Melbourne, Australia still, with a special guest, hard to wrangle, the hard booking, the toughest booking of my career. My good friend, Eric Andre.
What's up?
Eric Andre, thank you, man. At this moment, Eric Andre acts like he's never heard a podcast.
What? How many episodes are you trying to do? Is there an order?
Is there an order?
Does it just go to iTunes? How does it work?
Yeah, it goes to iTunes and SoundCloud. I think maybe Spotify.
How many are you trying to put out?
I don't know. It's been fun, though. I think this is the 10th one.
You do a special guest every...
Or something like that.
You have a special guest every time?
Sometimes it's just me and Tony, but we've had guests recently.
Oh, Judah Friedlander?
No Judah Friedlander. We had Franklin Ajay. We had Napalm from Hiatus Coyote.
Nice.
Al Jackson's been on a couple.
Nice.
But yeah, it's just chill,
man. Let me hear
man.
Your spot-on Al Jackson impression.
My spot-on Al Jackson? I'm about to kill this shit. Man, stop being a pussy, Tony Trim. We're about to go get fucked up. We're going to kick it. We're in Cincinnati. It's going down right now. My favorite DJ, Tony Trim. Let's do this, man.
Spot on.
I can only do my impressions of my friends. What's your impressions?
I can do Obama. That's it. Now, look. Sasha, Malia, Michelle.
Mm-hmm.
We need a tax break for the middle class. I don't know if that's one of his policies.
But he's out.
Trump's in. Trump Nation.
Trump
whites
is
only.
In. Trump is in.
All right, here's my Trump impression.
Mm-hmm.
Sasha, Malia. I'm unbelievable.
He's such a weird man. He's 70 years old.
70.
So we had to cut some stuff out here. Because of that, this segue won't make much sense, but just roll with it.
God.
But enough about dead babies.
Yes.
We out here in Australia, man.
Yeah.
First time in Australia.
First time, yeah.
How
it's your
feel?
First time? It's not
it's
your
my
first
third time,
time
man.
Yeah.
I'm wavy. Look at me.
Yeah.
I'm bright-eyed. I've been taking Boost vitamins. I've been taking liver detox pills.
Yeah.
Everything is wavy.
Do you drink Jameson every night?
Yes.
It's got to be balanced, man. You got to have balance.
Yeah. But, do I seem like it? No, I got energy. How you feeling, man?
I feel like shit. I feel jet-lagged. I've been fighting a cold all week.
Yeah, I do push-ups.
I jogged yesterday. I jogged along the beach, along the Gulf.
You gotta get acupuncture.
Yeah, I could do that.
You gotta do
some photo
cryotherapy.
Yeah.
You ever done cryotherapy?
No.
What? You seem like you would do cryotherapy.
I feel like this is a new Hannibal.
I've never seen
you so positive.
I do super healthy shit all
yeah?
the time.
Yeah. I don't believe. Yeah. I don't buy it.
Occasionally.
Are you on Adderall?
No.
This is the new you.
Yeah, I'm just excited, man.
Yeah, really?
This is my podcast energy. I'm a host.
No, but even last night, you were in like, I've never seen you like this.
I was lively,
usually,
man.
Usually like looking at the ground, staring at your phone.
You talking about I was just bouncy? I was lively?
Drifting in and out of consciousness.
I'm in love.
Are you?
Yeah, I found a girl out here I love.
Really? Are you going to get her pregnant?
No. I thought about it.
Do you think about, are you going to get a girl pregnant eventually?
I want to get a girl pregnant over here in Australia and leave it over here. And then
PayPal. PayPal, that's awful.
PayPal. A good amount of PayPal.
Oh, well.
Like a good PayPal.
Then I take it back.
Yeah, like what? Like, what? $5,000 a month, PayPal? American? Back to my Australian baby? 5 G's a month? Plus the woman's job? That baby going to be all right. And he's going to be strong? Have a nice bitter son.
Mm-hmm.
Dad, why'd you do that to me?
What accent is that?
That's my Australian accent.
Oh, okay.
What's your Australian accent?
It's a packet of upside down eggs.
Yeah.
Upside down eggs,
bro? I don't know. Derek Beckles kept saying.
When he was training you, he was doing dialect training.
Mm-hmm. Him and Catherine were saying that shit in the writer's room. And so I'll pack it up upside down eggs.
Yep.
Pretty good.
How did you feel about the show last night, man? It's your first did you perform the night before?
No.
Do a warm-up spot?
No, I went to the open mic at the club to check it out. Mm-hmm. Check out the vibe. How are your shows out here?
They were fun, man.
Yeah, it's packed.
Yeah, it's exciting. Even with the internet and television, it's exciting to go somewhere super. And at this point, Eric Andre interrupts me and takes over my podcast for a few minutes.
Where do you write? Do you write on the road, or do you come up with new material mostly when you're in New York?
I'm never in New York anymore. I moved from that place.
Where do you live?
I live in the Shy.
Really?
On the west side.
You don't have your apartment anymore?
It pimping and it ain't no lie.
Is that the truth? You don't have your apartment in New York?
I still have it, but I don't fuck with that place. I go into New York for gigs.
What was the hardest you ever bombed in your life? What was the worst show you ever had?
The worst show I've ever had?
No.
What
was the worst audition you ever had?
Probably for Tower Heist.
I auditioned for that too. It wasn't great.
It wasn't the worst one, but I could tell the casting lady, whoever was running lines, she was speed reading me.
She
was just getting me through. She was not trying. You could tell when somebody
they're like, great, next scene.
Or sometimes somebody gives you energy where they're trying to help you.
Yeah.
Do the best you can. But she was speeding through the lines. It wasn't my worst one, but it's my most memorable one. I don't like
what was your worst? What was your worst?
Worst bomb?
Worst bomb, yeah.
It's been a lot, man. I mean, my worst bomb was, we've talked about it on here, West Palm Beach, when I was super faded.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It was pretty loose. West Palm Beach is legendary.
Yeah.
What about the one with the booty? Remember there was a booty contest before the show?
Oh, it was San Diego State University. It was a college show. I was headlining. Who else was on there? James Davis was on that
Byron,
show.
Remember? Byron was on that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm going to talk about Byron. And so Marcella, I think, was on that show.
Yeah, Marcella was on it.
It was their homecoming event. We get there. Show started already.
What city is this in?
San Diego. San Diego State University. And I was the headliner, so it was I'm excited to do it. I found that there was like a booty shaking contest before or whatever. The show's going. People doing all right. Marcella did her thing. James Davis, I think he was hosting. Byron goes up. Byron is bombing. Byron is bombing hard.
And is he the first comic ever?
No. The other comics have went on already.
What did he do that was...
I don't know. He was just bombing, man. And then he went past his time. And then he was still bombing more. And he was just bombing over
his
time.
What was the predominantly black crowd?
It's mixed crowd. It was a mixed crowd.
Wait, didn't he end up like taking his shirt off at one point or something like that? Or did I just imagine that?
Possibly. Possibly. That's not out of the realm of possibility.
So Byron,
I don't think he did.
So Byron's struggling.
He's bombing, but then he goes over. He stays up there. Stays up there an extra 8 minutes.
He's like,
bombing.
He's like double downing
and
on bombing.
I'm going up next, and I'm thinking, why is this motherfucker? And he gets off stage. I'm like, hey, man, you can't be doing that. If you bomb and just get out of there, because I got to go up next.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I got on stage, and I did like a couple jokes about him bombing. Like, what about that guy? And then did a few minutes, and it was going all right. Then I started bombing.
It's the karma.
Yeah. Well, yeah, just making fun of somebody for bombing. And then bombing hard.
And
just
it was
sweating
hot.
On
yeah,
stage.
It was
hot as fuck.
Yeah.
Huh. And then just the cues. We're bad. Like,
was there something in the crowd that was distracting the crowd? Was it like the attention was all over the place?
It might have been. It was hot.
Sometimes it's just not set up
for comedy.
And
it might not have just been. I wouldn't say that. I'm sure other comedians would have handled that and destroyed it. It was just. I wasn't right for that situation.
Yeah.
Maybe earlier in the set, I would have been able to thrive. But that was a pretty bad bomb.
Did you do. When you started out, did you do a lot of. Black clubs or like urban night?
I did some in Chicago. Yeah, that's what I started out doing.
How was that?
It would be
hit or miss.
Sometimes they'd be like, oh, this motherfucker is okay, this is good. And then sometimes it was nothing.
Yeah.
In the same night, same club, sometimes same jokes, different crowds. It was just sometimes it hit, sometimes it was nothing. I remember I would get, they would introduce me in a special way sometimes. I remember doing this one room, and it was a comic. He was a good comic. Put a lot of comedians in Chicago on it. But he, you know, they introduced me like a. He's like, this next guy, you guys, you gotta listen to him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The weirdest yeah. mood to put in the air.
Yeah, you gotta listen.
He's
to
on
him.
Some other shit.
You gotta listen to him. But he's funny.
Yeah, people are like, welcome. What? Like, eyebrows are raised already.
Yeah. No. But yeah, it was interesting starting out, man. Did you do a lot of black rooms starting out?
I did. I always would like. I was like, I gotta be able to do any and every room. I'll do a room in like the South, a redneck room. I'll do like I need to be able to do any type of crowd. Man, I stunk up the joint. I bombed so bad. I would go up to the Bronx and try to do like urban clubs and stuff like that in like Washington Heights.
Yeah.
And I would fucking just fall flat on my face every time. Almost every time. Yeah. Sometimes I could high energy my way into something.
And now he's known for pulling his penis out on stage.
They right. didn't know what I was talking about, but I'd be like committing say, fully.
This dude is crazy.
Yeah,
that dude is crazy. Happening in front
the
of us.
The worst was I did Wendy Williams' show at the Laugh Factory. She had a live comedy show that Capone used to host.
I think I did that once.
And I tripped up over my first line out of my mouth. I walked to the stage and I tried to make fun of the girls in the front row. I tried to make some joke like, you guys look like, first of all, Capone, not only was I trying to do a joke that I flubbed the line, but like Capone already did it before me, but better. Something like, you guys look like, I pointed to these three girls. I was like, you guys look like if SWV never made it or something like that.
Yeah.
But I was like, you guys look like SMP never made it. SWV never made it. Like, blah, 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 blah. Like yeah. They're like, what? And then like, I never want them back. And then I went into my old Hurricane joke. This was like over 10 years ago, I think. And I just looked like a schizophrenic. And they were just like, And then I was trying to like talk about like racial politics in America right afterwards. And I just like, I think I just like sauntered, like moonwalked off stage. Wendy Williams was cracking up though. And then like Capone went on stage after me and ripped me a new asshole. Like,
yeah. For 10 minutes.
For
that's what
10
happens.
Minutes. And then for 10 minutes. And the crowd was like standing ovation.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't know who that was, but he'll never be back here again. People are like, yeah. Yes. He was terrible. We all agree.
Yeah. That's what I tried to do to Byron. And then the crowd was like, no, you're not supposed to do that. That's not you.
Yeah.
No, didn't work out, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. So then you born in Billings, Montana. And where'd you go from there?
Media training is fucking superb.
No? Okay.
Oh.
Yo, Stonewall? Sorry, man. So, yeah.
What's up? Chilling, this came to a screeching halt.
It did, man.
You gotta keep this shit moving.
I know.
You're the black Joe Rogan.
No.
I don't see race.
You don't? No. What? Huh?
You're the, I don't even know. You're the human being, Joe Rogan.
I rap a lot on this podcast.
Yeah?
Yeah. I've been getting better. I've been getting
right this
better.
Way. Because we had a kid better. Freestyle rap on the, on the stage last night.
Yeah, I jumped up and last night.
And he spit.
He spit bars.
He spit hot flame.
He got into it right away.
Right off the bat. No hesitation.
Yeah, I heard a little bit of that in the background. I was like, he's snapping.
Maybe not the best rapper of all time, but
he got in the pocket.
But he got in the pocket, and he committed. I admired his commitment.
You know how many people ask me if I really kicked Flavor Flav?
So many.
So many people ask me if
and
I really
kicked
Flavor.
They're asking me every day. So they must ask you
all
the time.
What would you say? Yes, you commit to the bit outside of it?
I say... I'm not at liberty to discuss these things.
Really?
I've been legally advised by Hannibal's counsel.
Yeah.
That I'm not at liberty to discuss these matters.
Yeah. You know what I say?
Also, don't learn Final Cut or any editing software.
Don't learn it? You tell them that
too? I tell people that, yeah.
Yeah. they think it's, and they did you do it? It's like, no, that's assault. That's assault. I wouldn't kick somebody in the face unless it was, unless I had to in defense of myself or my family.
Yeah.
But for a laugh.
That's the highest I've ever seen your leg.
Dude, I didn't even
know you had that in you.
Dude, when I went, because it was a year in between shooting that and between it coming out.
Yeah.
I hit you up like, was that me or was that a stunt double? I was like, man, I was like, I can't kick like that. That stunt double crushed it.
Then was Flavor Flav actually really salty about that? Because I saw some tweets about it.
Very salty. He didn't appreciate that.
Did he talk to you directly, privately?
You know what? He wasn't salty right when it came out, and he was like, "Ha ha, good one, G." He said something like, "Okay, funny stuff." And then people were like trolling him. Like people were like, Hannibal whooped your ass. Like all this shit. Like, you're a bitch. Hannibal kicked you in the fucking face, bitch. And he was like, fuck that. No, they didn't. They're doing editing tricks, G.
Well, also, it didn't help that media outlets ran it as fact. Like, just said Hannibal kicked.
That's the echo chamber.
They didn't even put it in quotes or anything. They just like, he kicked him in the face and just ran it straight
people,
like that.
People want clicks.
I guess. It's, you know.
People want clicks.
Some
say the reason Donald Trump is president is because people want clicks. Yeah.
Clickbait.
Yeah. And all the moments that should have disqualified him was basically free press.
Well, why don't we start our own clickbait-based media outlet?
That's what I mean.
Clickbait.clickbait.
Clickbait.
Come to clickbait.clickbait.
Clickbait.click.
Ooh, look at this kangaroo. Kangaroo kicking it with a cat. And this cat got into politics.
You can just live edit this part out.
We did not live edit that part out. That was solid clickbait stuff I was saying.
It's gonna be a while.
What? You said live edit? Come on, man. You don't know. All the bad parts, we just put auto-tune on that shit. You ever. So, how do you commit to the bits so much, man? Because, you know, I bail on the show.
On Eric Andre's show?
Yeah. You be committed, and I be like,
There's definitely moments where I'm like committing, but in my mind, I'm like,
I'm a bad person.
This isn't gonna work.
You ever think, I'm a bad person? Why am I doing this?
I think, like, you ever think, this sounded funny on paper, but it's coming out of my mouth meaner than I meant it to be.
Yeah.
But we always edit that shit out.
Mm-hmm. It's so much.
So much.
So much cutting room floor.
Oh, yeah. I don't think any show has more cutting room floor.
Has there ever been like an interview where you had to completely cut, like just completely?
Gallagher would never really aired past a few frames.
Yeah, why? What was
he was like impossible to shake because he didn't listen. Uh-huh. It was like nothing.
Was I there for Gallagher?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, that was season two. You were there for all the interviews.
Oh,
you've been there for every interview. Well, I mean, the first three seasons you were there for all interviews, and season four you weren't there just for like Amber Rose and Raymond Cruz.
Oh, the Amber Rose one. I miss. And Roy Hibbert. Roy Hibbert.
Yeah, that's the day we had your robot.
Yeah.
Because you had to shoot, you had to do Don't Wake Daddy. You had to shoot that movie.
Mm-mm.
Don't Wake Daddy.
Don't Wake Daddy.
Oh, Don't Wake Daddy is a board game. Yeah. Come to Daddy.
Come to Daddy. Come to Papa.
Come to Papa.
So sometimes you're like, oh shit, I'm
not even sure that's what you're doing something.
I think I was doing my special.
You were having an identity crisis, I feel like.
Probably.
You were wearing a different pair of sunglasses every time I saw you.
That's, you know, I try to, you know, I try to be luxurious but still frugal.
Yeah.
And so I do stuff like that, you know, where it's still.
Do you think Eric Andre Show is the only talk show where the co-host has a significantly bigger following and more money than the host in comedy history? It's not like Ed McMahon was like selling out theaters and then Johnny Carson was like, hey, I'm doing a fucking punk rock venue.
Because you spend so much time on the show.
You just show up for 9 days.
And I just come here to work on the show. While you working on the show, I'm doing other shit. Yeah. and working on, you know, my rap career.
It's a defining role for you.
It
the
is.
Hannibal Buress.
People get into it.
The Hannibal Buress co-host role. You were born. It's the role you're born to play. Really, the Morpheus.
Yeah.
The Morpheus role was the role.
When I'm out in the streets, people. Adult Swim, right, fam? Fam! Cartoon, you the dude. Fam!
Oh. Me too.
Yeah.
One time I was doing Bird Up. It was the second time I was doing. Second year we were doing Bird Up. And this dude, I was like humping some lady's leg. And this guy came up to her. And he pulled her. We were in Harlem and he like pulled her away. He's like, come on, you're going to be all over Adult Swim letting this guy hump your leg. He was like, like, it was the first time to hear somebody like aware of me on Adult Swim, but not from like a place of like fandom.
It was it's just more like just knowing.
Don't get on Adult Swim.
Come on.
You don't want to be on World Star Hip Hop. You don't want to be on Adult Swim. Like, he knew I was nothing but trouble.
Yeah, man. What I was trying to think of. The bit that got cut also. It was when you were making smoothies while jogging on the treadmill. You had two treadmills.
Oh, yeah.
And making smoothies with that.
John Kilduff.
John Kilduff.
Yeah, yeah.
That didn't make it.
That didn't make it because John Kilduff did the same thing, and it just felt like he did the authentic version of that, and then we were doing like this like secondhand version of that. It just didn't feel like we were adding anything that original to what he already like. Yeah. Organically created. But I love John Kilduff. I just felt bad. I felt bad cutting it. But we didn't know where. That was year one. We had no idea what we were doing.
It's pretty wild.
We didn't have a script. We had like 14 different documents floating around, and nobody ever knew which version was the most reasonable. It was so chaotic.
Did you already know that you were going to have Hannibal?
Yeah, Hannibal's been part of it since the very beginning. Like me and Hannibal and Kitao shot in like abandoned. Bodega in Brooklyn, like 2009.
Was that 2009?
Seems longer. Yeah, it seems longer ago, but it was 2009.
And then we shot the regular one in 2011?
In the pilot, the official Adult Swim pilot in 2011, season one, 2012. But 2009 is how long ago?
I remember.
Seven years.
When you first sent the, you sent me the pilot, and you were like, check this out, man. And then, like, right next, and then next sentence, it's really crazy, man. And I watched it.
You kind of forgot about it, too. You were like,
yeah.
You were like, I was like, remember that thing that we shot? And you were like, kinda.
Yeah.
And then I was like, it's going to be a TV show. You were like, oh, nice. Because he literally just came in for like a few hours.
Yeah.
I remember I gave you $100. Yeah. I was like, don't tell anybody I gave you $100 because I can't pay anybody else.
Yeah.
Because like Angry Bob, like other like comedians stopped by.
I think it's about a bit of more than 100 if I'm thinking back right.
No, definitely. You know what I'm saying? I feel like it was okay. Bank.
Well, I do remember being like, yeah, nice. $100. Is that the pilot?
Yeah. This is like the OG.
That's from the bodega?
Yeah.
Oh, we have to watch
that. That's when you spell the D-U-H, air, A-I-R. Yeah.
That's all I had planned. I'm A for the show. What should I do? Write some jokes. Get yourself together. Start all over. Move to Philly. Buy a loft. Just paint. Hang out. Smoke clothes. Listen to the Animal Collective. Be right back, folks.
Now let's go. We were broke back then.
We broke as fuck, man.
So broke.
Broke as fuck.
And I remember your whole plan. You're like, my whole plan? I'm just going to ride somebody's coattails.
Hey! Because
you did Montreal, I think, a couple times. I was like, what are you going to do? You going to get into acting? You're like, shit, I don't know.
That's what would happen when I would go to meetings. It's like, what do you want to do? I want to do stand-up.
Yeah.
We don't give a shit about that. You have a TV show idea. You got a movie idea.
Yeah.
I was going into these big production companies on general meetings. Mm-hmm. And then, what's your story? Like, oh, yeah, I do stand-up, and I like doing stand-up, and I want to do more stand-up.
Yeah.
cool. Well, here's your bottle of water. And,
get the fuck get out of my out office. Of
my office. Nope. Parking not validated for you.
I met you at the Botanica bar. I
think. Botanica.
Yeah.
I remember.
Josh Filbowski show.
I remember. I don't know if you were hosting or Dan Curry was probably hosting. Yeah. And introduced you to the stage. And then you and him did some kind of crazy handshake. And I'm like, that's what New York comedy is about.
Really?
I genuinely remember the moment. I was like, oh, they did some, y'all did some crazy shit. And I was like, oh, shit. It's different out here in New York.
I remember asking the bartender if I could sleep back there because I was homeless. Dude. And he was like, no, you can't sleep here. I was like, no one will know, man. He's like, my boss will know when he comes in at like 10 a.m.
I used to sleep at the Starbucks on 42nd Street. I used to nod, I'll buy a coffee and then nod out there. Then they'd wake me up. Oh, you can't sleep here. Like, well, your coffee's not that good then, huh? if I'm falling asleep.
Yeah, those are the days.
Staying in hostels and shit.
Sven Wexler's couch.
Sven Wexler was very helpful.
Yeah.
I stayed there a couple
weeks.
He
helped me move.
Gave me, some moving. Sven Wexler had a moving company. He was from Chicago, so I met him there, and he had a moving company. Mm-hmm. So he hired comedians. I did a few gigs.
He was the first. Him, Nate Bargatze, and Jordan Carlos were the three first comedians that I met that I still somewhat kept in touch with. Actually, I haven't seen Sven in years, but like the three that I remember.
Yeah.
We did this. It was the very first show I did in New York City, and I remember I told all my friends, I was like, I'm doing a New York City comedy show.
Yeah.
And it was 6 p.m. It was at this bar in Chinatown called Yellow. I found out about it on the Comedy Soapbox.
Yeah.
And it was in this basement of this Chinese bar, and it was like fluorescent lighting. It looked like a detention center. And it was like me, and there was no audience. It was just three comedians in the audience, mm-hmm. and we just all took turns doing stand up
for each other. Yeah.
And it was rock bottom. It was comedy rock bottom. I was like, oh, this is a nightmare. I was like, and I remember telling myself, I was like, if this is what it is at the beginning, this as a career is going to take 10 years. Yeah. I was right. Because I was like 21, I want to say.
Yeah.
Eric Andre show, I was 28, and it came out when I was 29. So almost a decade.
Yeah.
Yeah. I started when I was 20. Stand up.
I don't think we show enough appreciation to the people we invited to shows when we were really horrible at stand up.
Yeah.
Want to take a shout out. Put some smooth music under this. Just some smooth reflective music to anybody I invited to a show between the years of 2002 till now, depending on the show. To anybody I've invited to a show and then bombed.
Well, you went to school in Boston.
I went to school in Boston. I started in Boston. I remember what I thought was like funny was like not funny.
Yeah.
Like I had a joke where I walked up on stage. What did I say? I was like, I think it was like, so anyway, we're all going to die soon. I don't know. It was like something like, so anyway, I hate myself. And I thought that was like so funny. I was like 19. I thought like, oh, people are going to think I'm crazy. Yeah. And then like people were like, what?
I had some bad ones too. I don't know if I ever said
this on
stage.
You told me one of your old ones and it was like an acronym.
Sarah?
Yeah.
Sarah, stupid ass, retarded ass hoe.
Yeah.
That's horrible.
And I was killing when I was 19. Oh, you know, if I don't like a girl, I call her Sarah, stupid ass, retarded ass hoe.
Yeah.
I had some bad ones.
I had one that was like, it was so like obvious and hack. It was like, I hate when people say, when you're about to go on a airplane and they say, have a nice flight. It's like, what are they going to say? Have a crazy flight? And then I did this whole crazy act out like, go on the plane and have a fucking, put a knife in your dick and rah, 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 rah. And I did this whole like, and I look back, I filmed it. I remember looking back on that a few years later. I was like, that is like the most boring, like obvious premise. I don't know.
It might have been more of a sketch.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Sometimes stuff is more of a sketch, you know?
Yeah, maybe.
Sometimes stuff is more of a video, a sketch. Yeah. It's not for stand-up.
I have video of my year one. I have, like, a video I had edited of me doing stand-up at, like, three or four different comedy clubs in Boston year one. I haven't watched it in probably 10 years. And I should dig it up. It's in my mom's garage on DVD. Yeah. But it's, like, me at, like... Comedy Connection, it's all Boston clubs, so it's like Remington's, which is Dick Doherty's? Dick's, Nick's Comedy Stop, Comedy Connection, and some other shithole spot. And I'm sure it's fucking embarrassing.
Yeah.
The first real shows were the shows where your friends didn't come. Because the first like four shows I think I did, I invited all my friends. Then the fifth show was at the Comedy Studio across the street from Harvard. And that was the first time I ever bombed. And I was like, oh, and I went like panic attack mode where I was out of body on stage. Everything got bright.
Did your mouth get dry?
Super dry mouth. Swallowing uncontrollably.
Is sweaty. His palms spaghetti. Knees weak, arms spaghetti.
His vomit on his sweater spaghetti. Mom spaghetti. It's fight or flight response.
Yeah.
And I remember that feeling, and like that feeling like lasted like the first like 3 years of doing comedy.
Shit.
It wasn't until, and I had a panic attack.
That seems like the most, like for me, seems like the most frightening thing ever is to bomb a comedy. Like just, you can hear people.
you get used to it. It gives you muscles. Bombing makes you stronger.
Yeah.
But like, you just got to learn how to, that's how you learn. You actually learn more from bombing than you do from having a good set. At least in the beginning, you learn how to embrace the silence and feel comfortable on stage when a joke doesn't go your way. And that's what makes you a comfortable, confident comedian. And you start having control of the room. But it's hard.
Yeah. You ever bring a girl to a show and then bomb, and then she says, I don't want any parts of this
anymore.
Oh,
yes. Well, you know what? Not so directly, but I've definitely brought a girl or already was dating her, but she hadn't seen me do stand up yet.
Yeah.
And it kind of actually happened recently. And brought her to a show and just tanked, and had nothing to, it wasn't like the comics before me tanked, like the comics before me did well. And I got on stage and just stank up the joint. It is the worst feeling. It's like magnified times 10 when you bring a girl that you like or a girl you're dating. It's like, whew, that sucks. Or bombing in front of your parents or a family member.
Yeah.
That's rough.
It's rough, man.
Especially when you're starting out. Like, now I have a TV show, so if I bomb in front of my dad, it's like
whatever.
Whatever, I got a TV show.
They don't pay me $20 for this anyway. I was just trying some new stuff anyway.
Back in the day, bombing in front of my mom or my dad, it was like, bad. I was like,
Uh-oh. Not enough commitment to material. Is that a good impersonation of your dad?
I felt like I was sitting next to him right now.
Eric, can I suggest a tag for your joke? Eric.
You sound like, what's that dude's name?
Will.
No, no. Let me take you to the movie.
Oh, Banks. Let me take you to the Banks. It's your boy Banks.
It's your boy Banks.
It's your boy Banks.
Let me take you to the movie.
You know something about that Banks video?
Yeah.
When I was at Saturday Night Live, I sent that video to Andy Samberg.
Yes.
And he used some of the ad libs as inspiration for his Shyrani character.
Really?
In the first Shyrani video with Rihanna, where he go, ha ha! That's from Bangs, man.
Okay.
Also, I wrote a line that Rihanna said in that song when I was just... I was
in a movie with both of them.
Yeah.
Called Popstar. Theaters everywhere.
Yeah.
A year and a half ago.
I heard it was great.
It was great. It didn't do well at the box office, but it was good.
What do you think happened?
Maybe marketing. I was trying to figure it out. I think that nobody knew what it was from the poster. That's a big deal.
Yeah.
Because it was like Andy was like silhouette in the poster, and the name of the thing was Popstar. I think people thought it was an authentic Justin Bieber kind of documentary.
Oh.
And they didn't know it was a goof. I think if you saw his face, it wasn't a silhouette image. If you saw his face and it had maybe like a goofier title, then people are going, oh, it's a comedy. It's making fun of that shit. But I don't think like people understood. Yeah. Maybe. I also just think the movie industry's falling apart and we're so inundated with media that like nobody knows where to begin. And, you know, what is going to make somebody leave their house?
My cameos in Neighbors, Daddy's Home, Secret Life of Pets, Angry Birds, and Nice Guys.
It's like when a movie comes out, you go, I can wait a few weeks, just turn on my Apple TV and download it. What's making you leave? What's making you leave your house to go see the movies? Well, if it's a comic book movie, because you want to see surround sound and like crazy, you want to see it on the big screen,
like an event. It's like an event.
Yeah. And it's like, oh, the new Star Wars. You know what I mean? It has to be something like that.
That's why.
Huh?
For me, what makes me leave?
Yeah, well, yeah.
My cameos in Neighbors, Daddy's Home, Secret Life of Pets, Angry Birds, and Nice Guys. So you have a knack for being in really critically acclaimed, undermarketed projects. Let's talk about Man Seeking Woman.
Sure.
That show is amazing, by the way. I love that
show. Thank you.
Yeah.
I like that show a lot, man.
Thanks.
Yeah. What the fuck are they doing over there?
They don't market it.
Tell them to take that X off of that shit.
I have no idea why FXX exists.
Take that X off that shit. Put it on FX. You don't need no FXX. That Simpsons shit, it already happened.
Yeah.
FX.
Put us on FX and give us a billboard. Something. People don't know how to
do that. That show is great, man.
Oh, it's on FXX.
It's on FXX. It's on FXX,
which people don't even know how to find.
Yeah, it's like channel 400.
They don't give us a billboard. They don't give us any marketing. It's like people.
This show is so weird, man. I think I started watching it on the road. And I downloaded it on iTunes, and I just started watching. And I was like, "What the fuck? This show's great!"
Show, yeah.
Shout out to Simon Rich, Jay Baruchel. Great show.
Thank you.
So surreal. It just gets so weird, man.
Yeah.
Oh man, FXX. The fuck are y'all doing over there?
I don't know.
What's the dude's name?
That runs FX.
Louis C.K.'s best friend.
Rupert Murdoch.
Rupert? No, it's Lance.
Together, who Rupert.
Who is it? Landgraf.
Lance Bangs.
Landgraf. Is it Landgraf?
Oh, calling out execs?
Landgraf.
You're going to get me in trouble.
Landgraf. Promote.
Mr. Landgraf.
Man Seeking Woman.
The opinions of Hannibal Buress.
That show was great. Share. What's your scene on that?
Opinions of this podcast.
And then I did Swirly Eyes.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, man.
I've never seen you this perky.
Did I swirl it? Because I'm a fan, dog.
Have you started going to therapy?
No. What the fuck?
That is a compliment.
What does that mean, man?
The first 10 years of knowing you, you were like Rain Man. You just stare at your phone.
What? That's how I was in character.
You went deep undercover like Daniel Day-Lewis.
I'm really just, you know, I'm a nice, fun guy. No, I think I'm just...
You're coming out of your shell.
Voost.
I've been taking these Voost vitamins. Shout out to Voost vitamins.
Because I met your family. Your family's very grounded and normal.
Yeah? What do you think I am? What are you trying to say?
Let's talk about it. It's, you're like Robert De Niro in Awakenings.
Really?
You're like in the corner like... Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You think I'm autistic?
I think you're on the spectrum.
You think I'm on the spectrum?
Not anymore. The first 10 years, yeah, but something happened. You took some Flowers for Algernon type of pills, and now you're...
Yeah, in college, you were like, you were at the...
You were spectrum me.
You kind of just be introspective, chilling in the corner. Yeah. You were that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Asperger or something. Like, you could probably read 5 books in a day and have them memorized, but then it's like, Hannibal, you want to do later? Just rock back and forth.
Wow.
It's a compliment. I feel like you're doing great.
My ex-girlfriend said the same thing recently. She was like, you know,
I think you conquered your autism,
She said, I like the Asperger's part of you. And she kind of...
She liked it. I'm like finally talking to you like a human being.
And then she...
I think it was that LASIK, maybe. Maybe it's just your eyes are all fucked up.
And she just threw it away. She's like, oh, I think she said it in text. She's like, oh, yeah, your Asperger's. And I was like, what the fuck, my Asperger's? Maybe I am, though. I do get hung up on just...
little things,
weird little,
you have weird little triggers,
weird little details,
yeah,
and triggers, and
you have your minefield
and energies.
You dig. You would get mad at one woman a year on the show. I noticed there was always one guest, and it was always a female guest. And you would, out of all 20 guests, there would always be the 19th. We'd call them the 19th guest. Year one is Brandy Glanville. Year two is Downtown Julie Brown. Year three, I used to know who it was. Wait for it.
It was the, but most of them.
Oh, all year said, three, it was Julian Barbary. Year four, it was Abby Lee Miller.
But they all said foul shit.
Yeah. They I all, mean, we're saying foul shit, too.
We're saying foul shit.
I mean, like, it's but, all fair in love and war.
I'm trying to think what.
But there's something that triggers you.
I think when they just.
When a white woman says a specific thing.
I don't know.
I don't know what it is.
Well, the one.
Maybe you were picked on a white woman when you were little.
No. I think it was.
You have PTSD.
Well, the latest one. It was a Dance Moms,
right? Abby Lee Miller.
Abby Lee, she started talking about my mom.
Yeah.
It was rude.
Yeah.
And I checked her. That, yeah. You can't talk, like, joke about me.
Yeah.
Julian Barbary said some racist shit.
Racist shit, yeah. What about Downtown Julie Brown, though?
Downtown Julie Brown?
She seemed the most passive of all of them.
I forgot what it was with Downtown Julie Brown. I don't remember. It probably wasn't, but in the
you're good. 19 out of 20 guests a year. You're great.
No and beef. Then,
and they're saying way crazy foul shit. There's no rhyme or reason to it.
And then Brandy Glanville. I don't remember. She might have.
She called know. You creepy.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I wasn't used to my character yet.
Downtown Julie Brown, though, just kept, like, putting her fedora on you or something.
I don't know.
And you were like, fuck her.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I'm an unreasonable man sometimes. Even a few weeks ago, I argued with somebody, and I'm like, why did I even start arguing with them? That was just really stupid.
It's the Jameson.
Sometimes it's the Jameson. Yeah, sometimes I get it.
Because I'll tell you this. When I drink whiskey, even when I'm not, even when I'm hungover the next day or like... not even when I'm drunk off whiskey, like the next day or the day mm-hmm. after, I'm like really like temperamental.
Yeah.
Curmudgeon. Yeah. And like easily ticked off.
So what do I need to start drinking?
Gin.
Gin?
Or anything else. Vodka.
Vodka?
Mm. Anything else. I've been fucking with wine a lot lately.
Wine.
Man. Yeah.
Some nice fine Shiraz is on.
Shiraz.
It.
I need to cut it out.
just try to cut it out and just be free.
No, but this is all to say this is the best I've ever seen you. You seem very healthy. You seem full of life and positivity.
You know what it might? We recorded ads earlier and I killed that shit. Yeah. And I was singing.
Yeah. But even last night you seemed like on a high. I feel like there's a whole new Hannibal.
And I'm trying to think what it is. I've been... This Australia trip has been good, man.
Yeah.
It's been a fun trip. We'll just leave it at that. With subtlety.
Bing, bang, boing.
Yeah, man.
That's great.
Your girlfriend's coming to your show.
She is. I think she's going to catch the last one.
Yeah?
She's landing at like 6 a.m.
Wait, how many more shows? You got one tonight and another one tomorrow?
I think I have two tonight, but I might be wrong.
Yeah? Two tonight?
Maybe just one tonight.
Oh.
Did you add one in Sydney?
Oh, no. I got two tonight. I got one tomorrow in Sydney, then two on Saturday.
Where?
It goes 1-2-1-2. Sydney.
Sydney.
Melbourne, Sydney.
Yeah.
You want to talk about your girlfriend? That's too deep, man. You already
I gotta get on the socials, man. I gotta get permission.
Huh? You gotta get permission. Y'all already on
there. We're campaigning on a grassroots level.
You think people? Because we'll cut this. I'll cut this. It's just us talking. I would never.
I'll edit it out. Who's your girlfriend?
It's on the socials, man.
Bro.
Fucking scroll 10 pictures.
It's not me. I'll sing it from the hilltop.
You have a famous girlfriend. Who's your famous girlfriend?
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know what? It's on the...
Madea from the Tyler Perry movies.
I mean, if you follow Eric Andre on Instagram... You put it out there, man. You got like 600,000 followers and y'all be... Everybody knows, man. Anybody that... you know what? I respect your privacy, dog.
You know what? I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't care. I'll say
she
it
just
now.
She just wants y'all to think...
And she doesn't care. She just... has dated famous people before, and she's like, it puts a it puts a pressure on the relationship once it's out.
Oh. But it's...
It puts a little bit of a magnifying glass on it, a little bit. A little bit. I mean, we're not the Kardashians, but...
But it's all... Y'all already put a magnifying glass on it.
We posted a picture of us just having a good time on social media. We weren't kissing in the picture.
Like... Four or five.
Five, six hanging pitches out.
Over the course that's a lot of a couple hanging months. Out there, five.
Just four. No. I think it's three, and it's just me and her standing there. We're not kissing.
Hey, okay.
That's too you know much what? Hanging out on Instagram, man.
You know what? Let's give space.
No kissing, no.
Let's give some space for a clean cut. So you really haven't tried cryotherapy? You haven't? I tried it. It's you know what it is? It's like the
They freeze you.
Where you go in for 90 seconds to a couple minutes. It's just basically a concentrated version of athletes going to the ice bath to recover, to have their bodies recover fast. Is that so? You go in.
Does it feel good afterwards?
Afterwards, seems it feels really good.
During,
but it's only two. Yeah, it's miserable, but you power through. You got some music going.
How long are you in there?
I think it's in like a minute and a half. I did the float 2-3 minutes.
I've done the float lab.
Flotation therapy, where you lay and you kind of get suspended.
Oh, the isolation.
And you, your body gets relaxed. For y'all listening, flotation therapy is where you lay in a saltwater tank or saltwater pool. What'd you do?
Sensory deprivation.
Sensory deprivation. That's what it's all.
It's pure black, and then you can't see your hand in front of your face. Totally silent, soundproof booth. You're in a 98.6 degree saltwater tub, and you're floating, so you're not touching anything. You don't see anything. You don't hear anything, and it is deeply, deeply meditative and relaxing.
Yeah,
but I haven't done the cryo freeze. I want to do that.
What's the longest you did? Because I heard you started tripping balls after a while.
Nah, it wasn't like that. It was just more chill. I was in there for half an hour.
I started seeing stuff.
Yeah?
Yeah, you started seeing weird stuff.
Oh, you went in.
Yeah.
Did you ever think when you were growing up in the Shy?
The Shy.
That you would experience this much of the world? Has the world opened your eyes?
Every time
I travel, I feel like I grow a little bit.
I do too. I think it's something to travel, especially being over here where you don't see many people that you know.
Yeah.
And it's something about, not being familiar and just having it, just your mind changes and seeing stuff, and it puts you in a different mode. I like it. I didn't know exactly what I wanted to do. I knew I wanted to.
You ever get a boner while shooting Broad City? You ever get a little chub?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That's fucking tight.
Yeah, I'm just fucking, she's a pretty girl. We kissing on the mouth.
Hannibal said that with a lot of earnestness. Did you see his face when he was saying that? Lots of earnestness.
And you feel it up on her booty and stuff? What about Sarah?
I'm not that good of an actor.
What about the girl on Eric Andre's show that plays your girlfriend?
Yeah.
Just get a little chub?
It's tough to like kiss.
Yeah, no, that's
kiss.
Great. You gotta fucking
especially a surprise kiss. Y'all just y'all just be having her run up on me and kiss her. It's like, whoa, what's going on?
Wait, are you talking about like the bigger white girl that like slaps your your chest? That shit always kills me, man.
I'm not a good actor.
Wait, so you don't tell him that she's gonna run up on him?
Sometimes we
don't. Hey,
or sometimes we tell him and he forgets, and then he's like, "Oh shit, yeah, this is what we're doing."
That shit is
we
hilarious.
Did surprise you with your dad.
Oh yeah, my dad.
That first time he came out during Nick Cannon, you killed it.
I ran into him because he's an actual porn actor.
Yeah,
I ran into him at the.
I saw BBW porn with him, like a four way.
I sent you that.
Oh yeah, that's just right.
That was so the guy that.
What's the biggest girl you ever hooked up with?
250? I don't ask weights. I ain't no scales at the W Hotel. Oh yeah, yes they are actually.
Yeah, I was gonna say
yes they are, but I don't ask people to get on a scale.
300?
I don't think a 300, but yeah, I've messed around with some bigger girls. Yeah.
Under 300 though.
I'm thinking under 300, yeah.
How about you, Eric?
I've probably gotten up to 200.
Yeah.
200 club. We all in the 200 club.
I think.
Hey, big girls, they love too. I believe. I stand by that.
Listen, Tony, I don't think it's respectful to call it a club like that. I don't think these women who have shared the night and my bed with me would appreciate being referred to like that.
You ever have a girl take a Snapchat of you while you're going down on him?
No, but I have had a girl.
You can edit this out.
I'll talk about this. This is, it's just the, it's because I make some bad decisions out on the road. Not bad decisions, but it's, you know, out of just trying to keep the night going and being a chaser of energy and stimuli. I will, you know, do a lot of things I wouldn't normally do if I was at home with my bed being closed. So, in Phoenix.
With my bed being closed. So.
The day before Thanksgiving.
Hold for sound, please.
The day before Thanksgiving, we had a show. My sister lives in Phoenix now, so I do holidays down there. So I booked a gig the day before Thanksgiving. We do the show at Stand Up Live. We have our homie Tricky T set up an after party for us at this place.
Tricky T's not Tony Trim, is it?
No,
is
there?
That's Tricky what they T. call me when I'm in Phoenix, baby. Yeah.
That would be funny when we go back. I'm Tricky T now. So he sets up the
rough on the rap.
Sorry. Usually
I had to get a little DMX out of my system.
Usually we set up the after parties a day or so before. And so they'll be like the Milwaukee one. You were there.
Yeah.
That was a day. It was fun. We had a good amount of people there playing music, wilding out.
Some weirdos, though, dude. This guy kept trying to touch my dick every time I walked by. See, and it was, man, like,
it was
a little bit like, dude, it's a bit if you do it once.
Right.
If you do it like 15 times, it's like, that's
the
sexual
girls
assault.
Girls there were weird, too. Because
there's some weirdos there.
Yeah, they didn't like want
to. But all my friends from Chicago were like, yeah, you're a Milwaukee, dude. It's like all the weirdos get kicked out of Chicago.
Well, it's awesome. I mean, that's the kind of the cross you have to bear, man. You get on stage.
When I got to Chicago, every Chicagoan I talked to was like, yeah, you don't want to go hang out in Milwaukee. They were talking shit about it. And I said, Wisconsin.
I've been in Milwaukee a bunch.
I said, vacation place, Wisconsin.
Hey, man, I've been in Milwaukee a bunch. Nobody ever tried to touch my dick.
I play a schizophrenic on television.
Put out that vibes, man. They're like, he must want his dick touched. Yeah. He always showing it.
Yeah.
Oh, wait.
I kind of forget that how crazy I am on the show because I'm not really that crazy in real life. And then, like, people are so nuts to me in person. I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm like crazy on TV.
Eric, that
but I'm
story,
kind of in like a heightened state when I'm performing.
Yeah, that story that you told me, because when we met you on the road, that the first night where you went, stage,
right.
God, please talk
about it. Yeah. So Vancouver.
Jesus.
This is the first show of the tour this year. It was Vancouver, and the crowd was so nuts. And they were handing out glass bottles at the bar, which I fucking scolded them for. I jump out in the crowd, you know, crowd surf. The kids pull down my pants. This one kid stuck all four fingers in my ass. Other kid grabbed my dick as hard as he could. This is all simultaneous. Grabbed my dick as hard as he could. This other kid gave me a wet willy, and this other kid picked a hot dog off the ground and shoved it into my mouth. I got like gang raped by the audience and like drawn and quartered. They were like pulling me all different ways, and I was like, never stage diving.
Wait, didn't you say you had a bow tie on too?
And oh yeah, and the one kid's choking me. I couldn't breathe. I had to punch one kid because he was trying to kill me. I was like, dude, I cannot breathe, like straight up, like not as a joke. Like I can't, like you're cutting off the airflow to my brain.
When you were explaining
that
story to me, like I was laughing, but you were talking about it like, dude,
it was
dramatic.
It was a couple times. They always grabbed my bow tie. I think it was the only thing. I was slippery, so it was the only thing. But it was a few times, and I had to like, I did like a Texas tornado punch to this kid.
Yeah.
Just like instinctual, because it was like my last bit of energy before I passed out. I was like, if I pass out, it's going to be bad. So I was like, because if I pass out, they're going to think I'm doing a bit. So I was like.
And then
I
you're like, really going to get
it. I did like some Undertaker, like, I don't know how to fight. I just watched wrestling for the first day. So I was like, oh. I did some fucking like Texas tornado, like Ultimate Warrior punch. Damn. And he was like, oh shit.
Yeah, that's...
And in Portland, I almost got thrown off of. They had the downstairs to the basement bar. The staircase is in the middle of the pit, like the venue where everybody stands.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm crowd surfing, and I almost got tossed
off into like the basement staircase. I would have felt like a story. I would have like definitely broken a rib or broke my back or something like that. And I was like kicking people in the face. I was like, no, no, don't throw me to the thing. And the more I struggle and crazy, the more people laugh. They're like, he's doing a bit. I'm like, I'm not doing a bit. Like, I'm going to die. And I looked at the people along the perimeter of the staircase and I was like, no. And they like helped me like get away from it last second.
Oh my God.
You get so crazy. Do you ever get injured? Have you gotten injured?
The one time I jumped off stage in Nashville, this is like the first season one tour. I jumped off stage in Nashville and this kid went, whoa. And my naked eyeball like went right. Like I broke my fall, my eyeball and his finger. And then I landed on the floor and I was like, And then he kicked me in the crotch as hard as he could. And I was like, and I kicked him in the stomach as hard as I could. I was like, boom, like right in his stomach. Jesus. And he was like, And I was like, you fucking poke my eye and kick my dick. And he was like, he loved it.
Oh, man. So, man, whenever you start doing that crazy shit and running in the crowd, I always step back on stage. Yeah. And that's the time I use.
Like hides behind the curtains.
I dip back. Like when you bring all the people on stage, I fall all the way back and then I'll start. You know.
I remember when I first started doing that, you were like, oh, this is intense. When I was like, my next guest is everybody, and I bring everybody on stage.
Yeah.
At first, you're like, oh, this is cool. You're like trying to pull chicks' numbers and shit. You're like, yeah, it's a party. And then I'd be like, it's a halfway point of the show. And like, spreading ranch everywhere. Yeah. And you're like, oh, I don't like this part that much.
But that was a good time, so, you know.
You'd be like, talk. Your shows are a different kind of vibe. I was like, then telling jokes, then stating witty observations. Yeah.
Yeah, it's
it's an amazing show. I love that was very impressive, man.
It's fun. The Chicago show, I think that was one of the best because I went up in the balcony and everybody's in the back thinks they're safe. Yeah, but I was wrecking people. These people had like bottle service. You know, it was Thalia Hall, right?
Yeah.
So there are people in the balcony with a little bottle service. I took this ice bucket. I took the champagne bottle.
I saw that.
I dumped the ice bucket on all these
in the VIP lounge.
Yeah.
I saw
On like Joan Cusack's son's head.
Dude, that was such a good vibe. Yeah.
That was a fun show.
And then that's the one where I came out as Neo for Morpheus, remember?
Yes.
Fun run of shows.
Yeah, that was fun. That was fun. Those are good shows. But my body can't. I don't think I could do that past another year.
You're crazy, dog.
You're saying you can't do that another year? Or you're not?
I think I would do a fifth season of the show, but like, I don't think I could do a sixth. I would do a fifth season. I would do a fifth tour. And then by the time that's happening, I'll be 35 years old. And I don't think I can take like pokes to the naked eyeball that much anymore.
What about the show in general? You just, you know,
The show, you know, the problem with the show is that it's prank based. So the secret's kind of out now.
Yeah.
So it's like it's going to be hard to find celebrities that like can't just search. You know, people can just Google search anything now. And people like recognize me so much more.
Yeah, because you're all.
And recognize this guy so much more like exponentially. I feel like this year turned a corner too. I feel like there's a definite jump between season 3 and season 4. At least for me. I get
the promo
by name.
Y'all did the Republican stuff and then
turn the corner for
it. And a lot of that stuff you did leading in.
I think the RNC, because I was wondering, I was like, why? I was like, we've been doing these kind of pranks for years. I wonder what the RNC, I think the RNC made it feel very real. And people were like, oh, this isn't scripted. This guy's really going into dangerous positions.
And that Tinder video.
That Tinder video for real help. That Tinder video, and I did the Hot Wings challenge for Complex and those things like
the Tinder video. When I'm on Tinder,
so many of those, you don't think they're going to do anything, but both of those, like people are like, I use your pickup lines on Tinder. Yeah. I got laid because of the lines you guys were coming up with. Like, I'm like, that's awesome. It's fucking I pass the torch onto you.
Girls always think I'm a catfishing on Tinder.
I've seen girls' profile things like, I'm just on here to meet Hannibal Buress, or I'm just on here to meet Eric Andre after that video came out.
Yeah. They think I'm catfishing, and then I don't like giving.
And then
that
when
to
you
them.
Show up, what happens?
Well, no, like, I don't like giving that to, because then I usually don't end up meeting up with them if that's what they like. Of course, it's not you. I'm like, yeah, it's me. Oh, prove it, because I don't want to get murdered. And then I've lately I started saying, you know, I could still murder you. Yeah, this is a good point. Like, I'm not, like, me being me doesn't exclude me from doing horrible things.
Yeah, I could be a psycho.
It's just you confirmed and you had a phone, but anybody can murder you just because it was. We usually don't meet up once I say that.
They don't like
hard realism logic.
Yeah.
But they, it
kind of sours the mood.
It makes the mood weird.
I have to shit so bad. Interception when you're ready. I got a poop.
You put in the emoji, the poop emoji.
I'll be ready.
Then I'll be ready. Didn't really need.
What are you guys doing?
That didn't need to be two separate texts, really. Why do we do that? I always find myself texting them. Why did I have to separate those? Those are two very short sentences. We need to. Hey, everybody, we need to text efficiently. So what is it? Is this? You added her on there. What you just showed.
That's between me and Tony.
That's between you and Tony.
And whoever can
access
the internet.
Eric Andre's Instagram, then that's that, man.
You know, I DJ'd for your girlfriend before in
really?
Phoenix. Yeah.
In Phoenix?
Yeah.
It's going down to Phoenix, man.
Not actually, like I did it for, she didn't hire me.
She was there.
But she happened to be there and the owner was coming up to me like, we have a very special guest in the house and they would like you to play
why
this.
Why was she
like,
who was it? I think they were shooting something or award of it. AJ was there, AJ Calloway.
Who's that again?
That's the dude that used to be on 106 and Park.
Oh, yeah.
And so at one point, did I say that or did you suggest this? Where we just said, play Gibber's rap over and over?
No, you suggested it and I did it.
Just at a party where it's only a handful of us that even know that this is a joke. And so as I told you, just play Gibber's rap over and over again and see how it happens. Rap. I'm rap. In my socks, rap. Got on my jeans, degrees, put on deodorant, soda sit, water spit, put on deodorant. And so he plays it one time and I'm looking at the group and I see AJ kind of vibing to it. And then they play it again and then people are looking kind of confused. Timber's rap, bit of shit, coming with it, bit of shit, manipulative, coming through, and bit of it, and killing the bitch. Chicken with it, get it with it, and get it with it, got a chicken dick, coming through, got a little bit of the speaker spit. He plays again, and then they just looking like, what the fuck is going on right now? Yeah.
Well, I didn't know it was your girlfriend at the time, because they said it was someone important, but they were like in a booth.
We just started dating, so she wasn't my girlfriend.
Well, I'm just saying, like, I didn't know it was her, woman that we're talking of. But if I did
this
know it was
mystical
her,
woman,
it's only an Instagram.
But if I would have known, I would be like, sure, I'll play whatever the fuck she wants to hear.
Yeah,
you know.
Sorry, guys.
And then
I'm doing this for all of our benefits.
Yeah, oh, it's pretty hot in there. Oh, he's farting. Eric Andre is farting on the balcony.
Capiche.
Yeah.
Serious.
That was
I really do have to shit.
Well, on that note, Hannibal, thanks, man.
Tony,
it was good talking with you, dog.
Yes, it was great.
Yeah.
We came, we saw. What are you guys doing?